welcome to Are You Connected number 69. Today is January the 15th and 2014, and this is our first podcast for the year. So I'm Lois Smethurst, and with me is my very hot Bendigo friend, Jenny Ashby. Hello, Jenny. How are you?
Hello, Lois. I'm fine. Yes, it is rather warm today.
It's been a bit warm, hasn't it? 40, 41? It's very hot.
I think it's heading for like 43 or something up here today.
Oh, it's a bit hotter at your end of the world than mine, thank goodness.
Yes.
But I think you're used to it and I'm not. I'm very unacclimatized.
Yes, it's cool at the moment though. It's only 35, so we've got a long way to go, haven't we?
I don't call that cool. But anyway.
So makes you start the day early, Lois.
It does. Up early to go for a walk. It's the best part of the day. It was quite pleasant at 6 o'clock this morning.
And you know, in the Northern Hemisphere, they've had no school for snow.
I know. I was just thinking that. I was thinking, what would be worse? Would it be that snow or this heat? And I think the snow would be worse. What have you been up to in the holidays, Jen? It's almost time to start thinking about what we're going to be doing when we go back to school.
Yes, well, I've been doing a bit of thinking about 2014, what's going to happen this year. A bit of reflecting on 2013, of course.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the holidays give you a really good opportunity to catch some different time zones in our day that usually could happen when we're at school.
That's true, because a lot of things happen when we're at school. Well, what have you been looking at, Jen? Because
Google Hangouts is one thing. I've had a bit of a look at a couple of few different Google Hangouts.
So what's been your favourite so far?
I really liked the Google Hangout with the two guys and an iPad.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I follow those on Twitter. They've got some good stuff going on.
Yeah, they had Jerry Blumengarten on, who's a librarian.
Right.
And his Twitter handle is Cybraryman1.
Mm-hmm.
And he's actually retired, but he's got years of experience. He worked in New York schools with, difficult and students at risk.
Yes.
So he's got real experience. So he's really authentic, and I like that because when he talks about stuff, he's got the experience.
Yeah, I think credibility.
Yeah, it's credibility,
yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, it's great.
So, but he must spend so much time getting all these resources on his website.
Yeah.
And you can just look there and find anything. But the interview with him was great.
So there's a link to the interview in the podcast. And is there a link to his website as well? Or shall we put that in?
We'll put a link to his website there as well.
Yes.
So that'll be great for people. It's just full of resources. And the interview, though, they talked about some really great topics, so it was good.
The next one you've mentioned is the EduView Hangouts. Now, I've watched one of those, but
yes,
you would probably have seen more. They're quite interesting, aren't they? They're up to like 50 of them, so they've been doing them very regularly. The one I watched was at a Google Apps Summit.
Yeah, I call them GAFE.
GAFE.
And I recently heard someone call them Gaffy.
Well, is there any rules?
I don't know.
So, Google Apps for Education Summit, so it doesn't really matter, does it?
Yes, and yesterday's was Educational Manifestos, which was an interesting discussion.
I think I started to watch that, but I've run out of time. I'll have to put it on while I'm doing some housework, I think.
It went for quite a long time, actually.
An hour?
Much longer than our half an hour limit.
Yes.
Yes, so
they are long. That's the only thing about them. They're over an hour or an hour and a bit.
Then. Yes, and they had my other podcasting buddy, Rodney Turner, on as their guest.
Yeah, I saw that.
So that was interesting.
Yeah. I'm watching. And there's five people who do that.
Yes.
So it's an interesting, an alternate view of things. But
yes.
Yeah. So they're worth having a look at, aren't they?
Yes, and there'll be probably more over the next few weeks. So that was one way. And another way, of course, is on Twitter to follow different Ed Chats.
Yes. Now, when you came to visit, Jen, we did an Ed Chat, didn't we? We did one on a Sunday morning, which was a Saturday night in America, I think.
Yes. Was that Sat Chat?
Sat Chat.
I think it was Sat Chat.
It was Sat Chat because I looked for it the next Saturday, but then I realised it's actually on Sunday in Australia.
Yes, they had some great discussions and good questions were asked and people were answering the questions.
Yeah.
So it was lots of good stuff for this year, actually, for the new team, working with teams and in the school.
Good way to find new people for your Twitter PLN.
Cheers.
And people from different countries too. So if you want to make some contacts. So it's a good way to meet up people who are active on Twitter and who are doing different things and from different places. So if you want to add them to your PLN to change it up a bit.
Yeah. I like TLAP, which is Teach Like a Pirate.
Yes.
And they always have great discussions about things to do with the book.
So, Jen, what does Teach Like a Pirate stand for?
So the word pirate, all the letters in pirate, the acronym, stand for passion, immersion, rapport, ask and analyse, transformation and enthusiasm. And if you follow those different ideas in your teaching will just be going really great.
Yeah.
So discussions are around those different points when you go to a TLAP hashtag chat.
Yeah. And it's good because it's you're getting a lot of different opinions, and if you've got the time to be involved with them, then it's nice to connect with other people.
Yeah, and you can pick up a good idea and go away and try it, which is good.
Yeah, it's terrific.
The other one I went to was EdWeb Chat, and they have webinars.
Right. And so do you have to be involved in those? Like, do you have to, like with Teach Like a Pirate, you can just watch the chat or you can participate in it.
Well, these are actually tweets from the webinars.
Oh, okay.
While the webinar is on.
Right. So
but if you've put in that hashtag, EdWeb Chat, and look it up, then you can find when some webinars are coming on. And the one I went to was with Susan Wells, which was all about mobiles and makers.
Right.
Come together. Yeah. And it was a really interesting talk because it was talking about mobile technology and the maker organisation. And makers are all about kids creating and making things out of boxes and technologies and Raspberry Pis and all that sort of thing.
Yep.
So it was really good to see the two. And so technology being used while they're making cardboard boxes and things and, you know, filming and taking photos and creating about it and explaining to people what they've done.
So that's what I thought. So you're using the mobile technology to make a presentation about what you've made and why you've made it and how you've made it, that sort of thing.
You could do that, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Or make stories from what you've made and, you know, all sorts of things. Or if you're making things using technology like Raspberry Pis and Makey Makeys.
That's right. And there's the Scratch and all that is encountered in that, isn't it? Because that's all about making programs in a sense.
So it was a really great webinar, that, full of lots of resources.
Okay.
So
that's a good one.
Have a look at that. So that link's in there.
Mm-hmm. And you've got Lady Geeks on there, Jen.
I've got the Lady Geeks on there, Hangouts and Chat. So they do a Hangout. But make sure you're in a fun mood because they like to have a lot of jokes and laughs.
Right.
So if you're in a serious mood, you may not.
You may get annoyed.
You may get annoyed, but if you're in a light mood and having a bit of a joke, you may enjoy it.
Okay.
They're very clever ladies.
And they talk about geeky stuff?
Geeky stuff and all sorts of things. Like the other day, one of the things that was tweeted out was about how you can actually have your laptop log out with a keyboard shortcut, but still all your stuff's on. You haven't had to quit out of everything. Because, you know, if you normally log out because you're going to go away from your computer, you usually have to shut down whatever you've got open. Won't log out unless you shut down
the preference.
Yeah. So if you want to just leave it all as it is, there's actually a way you can just do a keyboard shortcut. You've got to set it all up, and then you can just use that keyboard shortcut and it'll log out, but everything's still there in the background on.
That's nice.
So they have lots of good little hints and all different things. So nice one, Lady Geeks. So they're on the Hangout, so if you look them up in YouTube, they'd be there. All the Hangouts are in YouTube, aren't they?
Yes, that's where they go. That's how you record them, they go straight to YouTube.
Yeah. And while that was while I was sort of looking around at that, Tony Vincent tweeted out a great list of Ed Chats. So if you want to know a host of web chats on all different subject areas, different topics, different days of the week, there's a Google Doc that we put in our show notes that will send you to a Google spreadsheet that has so many chats on Twitter that you could be doing them 24/7.
Yeah. Which would be, I couldn't do that.
No, but you can actually look and say, well, look, I'd really like to do a maths one.
Yes.
and find it, and then you know where it is, what time it is, and you could schedule it in some time. Yeah.
I don't do them all the time because I find they do cut into my week. But I do like to do them occasionally, especially like when you're on holidays and we're not going away this time. And if you're stuck inside because it's too hot or too cold, it's
yeah,
it's great.
Now the other thing that I found through Twitter, I would say, are the Fluency 21 planners.
Yeah, now I had a look at those. I saw your tweet and had a look at those.
They look very interesting.
Well, it's the time of year when you start planning, isn't it? And I think our planners could do with a revamp. I think it's time to do that, transformational thing where we move into a different way of looking at how we're planning our curriculum. So those Fluency planners, I thought, they look great because they've got a different way of looking at planning, and I thought they might inspire me to think about things in a different way. So they talk about solution fluency, information fluency, creativity fluency, media fluency, collaboration fluency, and global digital citizen
fluency.
Well, I must have fluency on the end there, but it didn't seem to. So I think that's about children, getting kids to think in a different way.
Yeah.
And being more prepared for what they'll need in this day and age.
And more problem solvers.
Yes.
Not just fact finders.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's what we've got to move away from, isn't it?
Yeah, and the thing good about those fluency plans is they're so collaborative because you can have them up there as public and anyone can comment on your plans and on each different stage you can add a comment.
Yeah, and there are quite a few plans up there already if people want to have a look at ones that are made.
Yeah.
And you can make your plans public for other people to use as well.
Yeah, and get some great feedback from people who have got ideas.
Yeah, we could work with anybody in any school really, can't you? You don't have to work with just the teachers in your own school to make a plan.
That's right, and if you've got, if there are teachers who are doing the same type of units,
yep.
The more people you can get together working on it, you're going to come up with some great stuff, I think.
Yeah, which you could do anyway, but this site actually helps move that along.
Yeah, if you're not in a big school though, like me, it would be a great help, I think.
Yeah, well, I just think it's good to get, we do so much of the same things. It would be good to combine with other people and work some of those things out.
Yes, and I like the structure of the way the fluency plans were set up.
Yes, I did too.
I'm hoping to get some teachers at my school to have a go at using them and to give them a bit of a trial.
Yeah.
Rather than the big spreadsheets and you highlight all the different activities and
everything.
And they're actually so over-planned that I wonder how much is student-driven.
Well, you've got to have a space for the kids to put their questions in, really have time to think about it and what do they want to find out and to allow that time, don't you? That's the real inquiry, challenge-based part that I think is missing often because we're in such a hurry to get everything done. There's so much to do that that's the part that you can gloss over a bit. But it's probably one of the most important parts to get kids engaged. And I was inspired by the challenge-based learning books that are now available on iTunes.
Yes.
They're called the Big Ideas series, and they're in iBooks, aren't they, in the iTunes store?
Yes, challenge-based learning.
And there were three that were tweeted, and there was one by Wonga Park Primary School, one by Ringwood North Primary School, and one by Ringwood Secondary College. So if people wanted to have a look at those, the links are in the
show notes.
Show notes, yeah.
And they were all doing about power, weren't they?
Yes, which was interesting because I wondered whether it was student power but it's power in lots of different terms.
So yes.
Some of it is just power as in electricity.
But it was good because the students could actually take on the meaning of power the way they liked.
Yeah.
And follow it through.
Yeah, so they're interesting to look at and how they develop the essential question and all those things.
Yeah, so well worth the download and, of course, they're free.
Yes, which is good. It's great.
Yeah, sharing, great sharing.
And they have videos and things in them as well because they're actually iBooks, aren't they?
No, they're iBooks and they're over 100 megabytes, so you need to download them over Wi-Fi.
Yes.
So, Lois, what are you doing in September?
September. I think I'm going to a conference, but I'm not sure.
It's holidays.
Is it?
Yeah, it's holidays because one of our favourite places, New York, is holding the World Maker Fair.
So what are you suggesting, Jen, that we go to New York?
Well, it's on in there, and we've got the website link to it on our show notes. And if you have a look, there's some amazing speakers and amazing stuff going on at the World Maker Fair in New York.
Well, it sounds like fun, but I'm not sure that I'm going. Are you going?
Well, I haven't booked anything yet, but I'm looking.
You're thinking about it.
Well, yeah, I'm probably going to clash with ACC.
Yes.
In Adelaide.
That's right.
It's on the 30th of September.
September's always a busy time for conferences.
So you'd have to get back and be ready and willing to go to another conference. Yeah. So that's something for some people might like to look at it, though.
Yeah, well, the Maker movement is becoming more prominent, isn't it, all the time?
Yes, yes.
It's back to that tinkering idea, and I think it'll fit in really well with our new digital technologies national curriculum.
Yes. Mm. Now, Lois, for the final thing we're going to talk about today, where we may be opening a can of worms.
Yes, I think so. When we started, it was my idea, and I'm almost sorry I've even thought about it.
Yes.
And it was, what are the restrictions on websites? And so that, because I don't think kids are really aware when they sign up, because often the terms of service are on a different page and the kids never look at the terms of services from what I can see.
No.
And what happened was one of the teachers in my school got the kids to investigate some different websites and say what the restrictions were to find out, and she got them to look at some chat sites. And I watched their information go up on their blog, and they reported back that, oh, yes, no, this chat site has no restrictions, no age restrictions. And I knew very well that they did and that they were wrong. But they honestly believed they hadn't, because when they signed up, there was no question about their age. It was just a matter of filling your details.
Yeah.
But if they'd read the terms of service, it was very clear that there were age restrictions. So I thought it'd be interesting. I wondered how many other people were aware that a lot of the websites, nearly all of the websites, have age restrictions on them. And
yes.
Which ones do you use with your kids at school, and how do you get around that?
That's right. Well, we actually, at the start of the year, give out a permission note for parents to sign. And on that note, it lists different social media, different websites that we will be using that may require a username and login for students.
Yeah,
and like Skype, Wikis, Lino, different sites like that may require them to have their own account, so that when they are using the site, they are not anonymous.
I think that's important, isn't it?
So once they are on the site and we know who's posting things, there's a responsibility suddenly becomes active and they do respond better.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, we do a similar thing. We have an acceptable use agreement that says quite clearly that we'll be using multimedia and blogs, and that, you know, you've given your permission for your children to use these. And then generally the policy at our school is you don't ask children to sign up with anything. And the exception would be blogs, wikis, and Edmodo. Edmodo, they don't need an email, and they don't need to disclose anything. So they can sign up, and you can know who they are, but they can still be quite anonymous. So there's no chance that data could be collected from them signing up with that. And that's the point with that, isn't it? That the rules are that children generally have to be over 13 to sign up to anything, because of a United States law about protecting children's rights.
And it's actually in America, so I don't know that we have the law here.
It's not a law here, but because those sites operate out of America, they can't collect data from anyone under 13. Mm. And so they have to make that their standard rule.
Mm.
So for primary school students, can't sign up to anything, basically. So the only way around that perhaps is to have a class account, and they use a class account. But then, as you say, they can be anonymous.
Yeah, yes, and there are some websites who now are changing rules for students under 13, and they will have in their terms and conditions a statement about it.
Yeah.
So like Audio Boom, for instance, mentions those who are using it is – there is an exception for those who are under 13 who are using the service as part of a school-led initiative.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So if you look into the terms and...
Which is what you have to do, really.
Yeah, you may find that for some that will say that if it's done by a school
or for VoiceThread, it says, you know, you must use an account created by a parent or guardian.
Yes.
Or it could be a teacher.
Yeah.
So some of our things that we have, we do a class account that's been created by the teacher.
Yeah.
And sometimes students are not even given the password. It's already in there, so they yeah. just use something that's already open.
That's the way I use VoiceThread, I must admit, as a class yes. account, and just create identities in the one account. But
yes.
after a while you get an awful lot of identities.
You do.
Well, Edmodo is interesting in that too, because Edmodo, which is really designed for kids to use in schools, still says that you must have on record a signed permission by the parents that if the child's under 13.
Yeah.
So it's all those things.
There's actually a good website with an article, 4 Reasons Parents Should Enforce the Age Restriction on Social Media.
Yeah.
Written by Natasha Burgett.
Yeah.
We'll put the link in the show notes.
Yeah.
And they give different reasons about why parents, and I guess teachers as well, should, one of them, of course, is the law.
Yeah.
Children's Online Privacy Protection Act.
Yep.
COPPA.
Yep, COPPA.
In the US. The other one is, you know, kids know the under 13 rule. So if you're falsifying things, children know you're falsifying, and what sort of example are you
setting for that. Exactly right.
You know, if they're on sites that are made for 13-year-olds, older than 13, there usually is some idea that there's going to be people on there and ideas and yes. talk on there that's for people of an older age that that's may right. not be suitable.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
You know, and use of those sort of things, you know, can lead to be for them being victims of all different sorts of harassment and all sorts of things they wouldn't want, cyberbullying. So, you know, the last one is that, you know, there are safer alternatives usually. And if you go to the Common Sense Media reviews, you know, the good Common Sense
yes.
Media
yes.
website,
yes.
they actually rate all the different sites and tell you, I hope they've got a great list of preteen sites
yeah.
that children can go to. So that's a good thing to have a bit of a look at that.
It's difficult though, isn't it? Because there's a lot of peer pressure for kids to be on those social media sites. And I think if parents are going to approve or let their children on there, they just have to be on there with them. There has to be a co-ownership of the identity, so that, and it has to be shared. So, you know, when the kids are on Facebook, or they should be there with their parents, because
kids and some parents do that. They say, right, we're going to have this so I can teach you how to use it,
mm-hmm.
and they'll use it together for a few years, and then allow them to have full reign of it.
Well, and that's the way it should be, because you wouldn't let children go swimming without teaching to swim first, as Richard Lambert
has. That's right.
Have you read Richie's new blog on some good advice to parents about social media and their kids, which is perhaps a link we'll put in too, because he started writing this advice in his newsletter. Once they've gone one-to-one, he's found a lot of issues have arisen. Started writing some articles, which really sound sensible advice for parents to help them guide their young students in using their iPads, and if they're going to be on social media. One of these analogies that he's used is, you don't let children go swimming without teaching them to swim. Well, you shouldn't really let them into the social media world without teaching them how to use it and teaching them how to be safe.
That's right. Yeah. And, you know, unfortunately, a lot of our parents don't know either.
Well, this is why he's writing it. It's part of that is to inform them.
Yeah, so this blog he's got going, yeah, I do remember it now.
Yeah,
I think I might add it as a link on my parents' link at school.
Yeah, I'm going to put a link to it on my website. It's great
for Richard to do that.
Yeah, it's very useful. Very helpful.
The other thing I found was in Wikipedia. If you go to Wikipedia, they've actually got a great list of all the social networking websites.
Yeah.
And it's in a table format, and it tells you the age limits and all sorts of things.
Yeah, I think
for
I
each
saw
different
that.
Social
yeah.
media website.
It's actually interesting if you start reading the terms of service, because some of the things they say, they're a little bit amusing, but some of them are worded in a very firm manner. And I'll just read out one quickly to you. It was from the Tumblr site, which I haven't used, but it says, you have to be at least 13 years old to use Tumblr. We're serious. It's a hard rule based on the US federal and state legislation. Even if you're 12.9 years old, if you're younger than 13, don't use Tumblr. Ask your parents for an Xbox or try books.
That's good, isn't it?
It's funny, isn't it?
So I think on Tumblr in particular, you can be anonymous.
Oh, okay. I don't use it. I just was browsing through some different sites, and that was one that came up in my Google search in terms of service, and I thought it was funny.
Mm.
So, yes.
Well, Lois, I think that's brought us to the end of our show today. That'll give people something to look at during the holidays, though. They can look it all up, look at our links, have a few looks at a few of the videos, and if they've got a lot of heat going on like we have,
they can
stay in the cool.
So thanks for today, and thanks to all our listeners.
Bye for now.
Bye for now. Hello. I forgot what to say. What do we normally say?
Is that better or is that worse?
That's shocking. All right.